إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Today إن شاء الله تعالى we're going to present a topic or some advice, pieces of advice for our Muslim daughters and sisters in Islam. 50 نصيحة للمرأة المسلمة. 50 pieces of advice for the Muslim woman. And this is the work that I found in the internet. It was very alhamdulillah beneficial, so I said, let me share it with my daughters and my sisters in Islam. May Allah, first of all, say, may Allah reward greatly the person who put this work on the internet. Jazakum Allahu khaira. Before we begin to mention these 50 pieces of advice, and we're going to mention them by numbers, so it can be easy for you to know number 1 until number 50. There is an introduction that is for all of us, for men and women, that from the main thing that characterize the Muslim and the Muslimah, those whom hearts are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who they apply what Allah has legislated in their lives by adhering to His commands and staying away from the prohibitions, you will see signs in the life of those people. Anyone whose heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they want to do what's pleasing to Allah, they try their best to apply, whether it be a man or a woman, they try their best to apply the deen of Allah by trying their best to adhere to His commands and the commands of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, staying from the prohibitions and the like, you will find tranquility and peace. These people, they have tranquility, they have peace, serenity, ease. You will find them always smiling, mashallah, even in the most difficult times they may go through, the smile never leaves their faces. Why? Because of that iman, because of their hearts inclines toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not toward this life. So they know that is from the creed, whatever happened to you, it was never meant to miss you. And that which you couldn't get, even though you tried your best and tried hard, you will never get it if Allah didn't write it for you. So they believe in that, alhamdulillah, their life is easy. They don't grieve on things that you couldn't get. Subhanallah. So they don't know grieve or they feel some sorry or regret for the things they love and they wanted to come their way. And nor they, you'll find them sad and when it comes to the things that happen to them that they dislike. Keep in mind, from the things we love, they may bring problems with it. Certain things we love to have, but Allah keep it away from us. Because Allah knows those things we love bring us problems. And there are certain things that we dislike, but Allah has made a great deal of good in them for us. Subhanallah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You may dislike something, but it is good for you. That's what's better for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And you may want something, you may love something, and you want it bad, but there is evil in it for you. Wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows and you don't know. Allahu Akbar. So therefore, if you apply this, the life and with its adornment, this life shouldn't deceive you. Shouldn't deceive you. Yet you can take your portion of it from means that are halal. It's permissible to now to take the your portion of this life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. As Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. That which Allah has given you, all the blessings and the favors, use it for your hereafter. Now, and do not forget about your portion from this life. So, if we know this dunya as we should, we shouldn't be mad and angry and sad and worrying because if we couldn't get a little bit of it. This dunya is our life and is so short in it. Our existence in this life is so short. Being as is and is filled with worries and calamities and obstacles and illnesses and worries and the likes. Why? It's not worth it. Rather focus on the hereafter, on the akhirah. This dunya is not worth it for someone to be mad and angry because of it. Or to spend a portion of his life just biting on his fingers because he couldn't get some of it. It doesn't mean nothing if you compare it to the hereafter. It means nothing in this life. All of the cars and the houses and the jewelry and the money and all that, it's nothing compared to what Allah has prepared for the muttaqun, for the righteous. When those who make it to the Jannah, they will, subhanAllah, they will live in eternity, in the bliss, joy, subhanAllah. Jannah that fiha ma la ayna ra'at, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the muttaqun in Jannah, that which no eye have ever seen, no ear has ever heard of. Things that it never even occurred in your on your heart. It never occurred in the heart of any human being. Allahu Akbar. But this Jannah will be for the Sadiqeen. Al-Mu'mineen al-Sadiqeen. For the truthful amongst the slaves, the believing slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now keep in mind that even if this life for someone, somewhere, even if its life is for some people is free from trials and tribulations, they didn't face no calamities. Still, and this is impossible, by the way. The prophets and the messenger, the most beloved of the creation to Allah, still they went through a lot of hardship. But just in case, we say, if this somebody somewhere has nothing, no problems, no issues, and etc. Still, by remembering death, the sweetness of it becomes bitter. The abundance of good and this in it will become nothing. When you remember death, وَطَوِيلُهَا قَسِيرًا. When you have to think about, oh, I have a long time, I'm still young, then you remember death, and that's it. When you remember death, you will know the reality that you got nothing. Because death is certain, the next moment is not. So, how can you make that statement, I'm only young, and I still have 40 years under my belt, you got nothing. You don't even have the next hour. It's not guaranteed. Now, when you remember that sometimes the things are peaceful and everything is easy, and all of a sudden the storm comes. Same way in your life. You have a nice day, alhamdulillah, shiny day, sunshine and ease, beautiful day, and before you know it, it's storm now, flood, wind. Ayna, likewise your life. Now you have some ease, and before you know it, you're going to be tested. How could you really be comfortable in this life when you know, you've been doing some homework, I suppose, when you know that when the evening comes, the next morning is not guaranteed for you. And when you get up in the morning, and you're still alive, and you go to work or whatever, then the evening is not guaranteed for you. SubhanAllah. Nobody told us, nobody from the human being, knows that, oh no, I don't know, you guys, you may die tomorrow, but as for me, I know, I got another 35 years. No such person can make such a statement. SubhanAllah. Don't you take a lesson from people die around you? Family members, friends, neighbors? SubhanAllah. Some of the time we remember death only when we're in a bad accident, or when you're very sick, somebody cannot breathe, then they're like, oh, that's it, that may be it. No, you're supposed to remember death all the time. Not only when you get very sick, now you remember death. Now you remember death when you're healthy. And man is weak. SubhanAllah, we're so weak. We start as a young people, full of energy, and everyone has plans, we're going to do this, I'm going to go there, I'm going to excel in this and that. And then before you know it, that strength is gone, it's fading away. The strong person become weak now, can't even walk, SubhanAllah. The little of effort become difficult upon them. Likewise, how many people we heard of, they were rich, a lot of money. They live in mansions and drive cars, or they have cars that I never drove. They just sit in there for collection. Their houses are furnished with, SubhanAllah, the top line of everything. They sleep on expensive mattresses. I don't know if they sleep, because keep in mind, the most expensive mattress is not guaranteed they will come with one good night of sleep. They eat luxuriously and the like. But then, SubhanAllah, the Qadr of Allah, that which Allah has written for them, it befall them. They lose everything. Some they become homeless. They sleep on the floor. Now they will eat that which they could never even give it to their dogs and cats. You see? How the life. But that we take lessons. We take lessons from all of that. SubhanAllah. And even if this doesn't happen to them, even let's say somebody was rich and they die as rich, but where are they going to be buried at? Under dirt, under the ground. There's no light, no furniture, no friends, no power, no maid, nothing. So therefore, from all of this, money can't buy you happiness. Status and position in the community cannot buy you happiness. You, the Muslim woman, never let the shaitan fool you just because once you've been nagging your husband if you're married, or your parents if you are not married yet. Oh, once we move out of this apartment, that's it. Just get us a single house and we're going to be happy. Get me another mattress, I'm going to be happy. I want my own room and I want to be happy. No. doesn't work. Happiness can't buy it with these things from this life. The real happiness is in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't cost you nothing for your money, subhanAllah. Look, they said, oh, we want to move to another area while the rent is going to be higher. You see? The mattresses are higher if you want better quality. A bigger car, truck or van is going to put money. Alright? But you want to, and still those things doesn't bring you happiness and joy and peace and tranquility and serenity. But what bring you, what guarantees it will bring you serenity, tranquility and peace of mind is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'atullah. La tukallifu al-insan shay'a. Doesn't cost you money. All you have to do is to be upright upon the commands of Allah, following the path that Allah has chosen for His servants. This was going to bring you tranquility and peace of mind if you do this. You cannot buy peace. You have to earn it. It comes free by adhering to the commands of Allah and the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're still looking for tranquility and peace. It's not when you change the furniture. That may even bring more problems. Especially if you put a hardship on your husband, for those who are married, and now he's not going to treat you right. He's going to say, well, you got the furniture, but now he has to pay debts. Whenever he looks at this furniture, he looks at his grief and sorrow, and he has to go through hardship and work extra time so he can pay off the debts. You see? So, no happiness in here. If you're still looking for happiness, joy, tranquility, peace of mind, then you have to apply the deen of Allah by adhering to His orders, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by pardoning, forgiving. Aina, you forgive and you pardon those who wrong you. You show mercy to the young and you have respect for the elderly. That's what's going to bring you love and tranquility and respect and serenity and peace and joy. You try your best to assist the people in helping them in times of need. Make yourself available. Not all time, but some of your time, make it for your friends, for your family members. What can I do for you today? Here is my number if you ever, like you sisters, you tell other sisters, look, we all go through some hardships sometimes. If you're sick or if you cannot make it, or let us know. We'll take care of you. We will cook for you. Sometimes you find a sister, she's in the hospital for weeks and her children are struggling. The husband, he has to go to work and pick them up from daycare, and we have a whole community, we don't even know what's going on, what the hardship this family is going through. Sister, she's in the hospital and her children, I don't know, cereal for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. And we have all these communities, these sisters, now make yourself available, tell her, please, we're sisters in here. If you ever, may Allah protect you and give you a sound health, but if you ever something happened to you like this, please let us know. We will cook for you. We will come and take care of your children. You don't have to put them in daycare. Bring them to us. We'll take a turn. Hey now, this is the way it's supposed to be, because that's what's going to make you happy. When you do things like this, subhanAllah, you feel good. You feel happy. But if you know after that sister that you know for years in the masjid and giving her all these handshakes and all the smiles, and you know that she's been in the hospital for 3 weeks and you didn't even know, and she has kids, 8 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. So who's been taking care of them? Who's been feeding them and taking care of them? How would you feel now? You're like, subhanAllah, I wish if I knew. So now you make yourself available. And even those people that you may be nice to them, and they are not nice to you, so you're not doing it for them. You're doing it to please Allah. Even those who are not nice to you, you still try to help them in times of need. Because we don't help each other only, okay, you help me, I help you. Like they said, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for Allah. So even if they are not nice to you, still try to do what bring you joy and happiness. And still the greatest reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With all of this now, of course, trying to help the people, be nice, be kind, be gentle, this and that, assist the people to the best of your ability and this. Of course, if you're married, or you got to talk to your husband. You don't just keep going here and there. If you hear that a sister is in need, talk to your husband. Say, listen, there's a family going through some hardship. What do you think? I would love to cook something for them. If you, that husband, say, MashaAllah, Jazakillah khair, go ahead and do it. And also, if you're not married, but you live with your parents, you do the same thing. You go to your parents and say, Abi, Ummi, my friend, you know, her parents are going through some hardship, her mother is in the hospital, and this and that. What do you think if we can cook something? And nah, this is how our children also, they grow up upon these good manners of Islam. But with all of these good things, what you have to still do what is good for you too. By adhering to the obligations, try your best to fulfill the commands of Allah. The salat, the fasting, the zakat, if you have wealth, and the like. And by staying away from the prohibitions, by staying away from being negligent and reckless, and if any calamity befalls you, you accept it and welcome it while being pleased and while being patient. And if you do all this and death come to you, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, is a relief to you from this dunya. And if you're upon iman, sound aqidah, and you've been upon these good manners and helping others, Allahu Akbar, Allah will reward you the greatest reward. So here, in these pieces of advice, these guidelines, subhanAllah, they're amazing. If you apply it in your life, if you adhere to them, by you reviewing them, and then you will see that how your life will change instantly. It will change. If you've been, you know, having hardship and anxiety, and then it's going to change. You're going to see that peace. You're going to find that peace you've been looking for. That tranquility and serenity you've been looking for, you will find it. You still may be broke. We have just enough, but you feel that you're like the most rich person on earth because you're happy. You have only enough to pay the bills and bring food. You're not saving anything, but you're happier than billionaires and millionaires. They don't have the happiness. Why? Because you are a Muslim woman. You're a servant of Allah. You apply the deen of Allah in everything you do and everything you say, in every step you make, whether at home, at the masjid, in the streets, at the market, times of ease, time of difficulty. You always do what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these advices here, first of all, some of them are related to the kalam, the speech. How the women look at the speech, how they talk to each other, and how much they can say, and all of that. While other advices are geared towards knowledge. Some women, subhanAllah, when it comes to knowledge, you find them, they think seeking knowledge is only for men. No, it's not the case. You have to seek knowledge too. You're a Muslim. Look at Aisha radiallahu anha. She's a alima, she's a great scholar. Many ulama, they came to her among the Sahaba and Tabi'een, and they learned a great deal of knowledge from her, along with the Sahabiyat, other Sahabiyat and Tabi'iyat. So don't you think that, you know, it's just like men, they have to learn. Only men have to memorize Quran, learn Arabic, and learn. Nah, you too. Likewise, we're going to talk about other advices, talking about obedience, about to Allah, about your hearing, what you hear, about the libas, your attire, and what you wear, or your social life as well. Your social life and your interacting with others, other women. We're even going to talk about your library. Do you have one? You don't. We will assist you. Inshallah ta'ala, what you get, where you start, what you start with. Likewise, you live in your house towards the marketplace. There is etiquette that we're going to mention, inshallah ta'ala. Like dua. How often you make dua. How often you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the etiquette of the dua and the like. Also your manhaj, who you listen to from the people, especially in the time. In our time there's a fitna of internet and subhanAllah, the Facebook and the Twitter and all of these things. Now, who are you listening to? How do you know that this is the person that if I listen to his talks, alhamdulillah, that's going to keep me firm on the path of Allah? Who you know? From the good and sincere and truthful callers from the evil ones, even though they may be eloquent and they can speak in a nice tone of voice. So all of this, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to try to provide for you, inshallah ta'ala. We will be suffice as for this today, in this introduction. We will start this 50 pieces of advice in the next class, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to grant us beneficial knowledge that is coupled with righteous actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who, when they listen to the speech, they follow the best of it, they act upon it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our affairs, forgive us our sins, and keep us firm on His path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our daughters and our sisters in Islam and our wives righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify them and protect them at home and wherever they may be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the Jannah and keep us firm upon His path. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira.